Alleluia, Christ is risen. Please be seated. This past week, I read a quote from a well-known Christian teacher. At the moment, I honestly cannot remember who it was, but surely some of you would have heard of him. And he was referencing the resurrection, and he said, "Watergate convinced me of one thing, that the resurrection is true." "How is that?" he was asked. "Well, after the resurrection, 12 men went out preaching Christ raised from the dead, and almost all of them went to their grisly deaths. Meanwhile, with Watergate, 12 men couldn't keep a lie straight for a week." The apostles weren't very likely to have persisted and have been martyred for a lie. The calling of a disciple is this, that he or she take up their cross and follow Christ, to set our minds on the things of above, even if it meant their death. This was driven home yet again today as news broke about a series of church bombings in Sri Lanka. As Christians gathered to worship their risen Lord, someone set their heart to evil to shatter the Christian's peace. This morning, as those lives were taken, more men and women were added to the noble army of the martyrs, who now sing eternal praise to our God and to witness to us our calling to take up our cross and follow Christ, to leave behind the things of the world and be ever eternally focused. For the Christian, it is not merely enough to come to church on Sunday, though this is a good thing, but it requires a total commitment of life, sacrificing to God your thoughts, your words, and your deeds, giving up ourselves for the sake of Christ, so that when the end comes, we may be sad for those that are left behind and say goodbye to us for now. But it is our joy to enter into our truest lives, our lives made possible by the death and resurrection of Christ. For this is what it means to be raised with Christ, as St. Paul talks about this morning, that we would forsake the things of the world, that we would leave behind our wickedness, our vices, leave behind our immorality, our selfishness, pride, and vanity, and cling tightly to our Lord, who is our Savior. Not only leave it behind, but pursue the gifts of the Spirit, pursue Christ, seeking him in our fellowship, in our reading of the Word, in all our prayers, and in the sacraments of life. For in these things we meet Christ, and he sustains us in the race that we are running. But in St. Paul's writing, we find that there is a recurring theme. For the human condition is tarnished by the first sins of Adam. We, like Adam, too often desire that which we know is not good for our soul, but that and that which leads to our death, spiritual and physical. But like Adam and Eve, we hear the devil tempting us, saying, "Ah, but surely you won't die. Surely God won't forsake you if you give up some of his gifts for this little thing." And we, like Adam, go for that which has been forbidden. We, like Adam, stutter and fall. We, like Adam, choose the thing that leads to death. But this is the good news of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, for we must have both. Christ died in place of us. Christ died so that we might live. And he not only died, but he rose again, that in that we too would be risen. So if we are risen in Christ, we are called to seek the things of above. Altogether, too often, we end up focusing on the things that are not eternal, the things that rust and fade. We worry about our earthly security, forsaking our eternal security. We worry about what we possess or who we possess, and not about being held by Christ. We worry about who our friends are, what our position is, or what others think of us, not about dwelling more deeply in the one who has set us free from our sins and draws us deeper into our Lord, our God. The one who, when we dwell in him, holds us tight. For if we are in him, he is in us and we are his. Yet if we cling too tightly to this life, cling too tightly of the things of the world, we will find that we no longer have life. Like Adam, we will meet death. So we are called by Paul to focus heavenwardly. We are called to cling tightly to God and be secure in him. It has been said, when we focus on the earthly, we will not find what we are looking for. But when we focus on the things of eternity, the things of Christ, then we will have all that we are looking for and all that we need. So, dear friends, forsake the things of earth. Forsake that which would distract you from Christ and turn your eyes upon Jesus and seek those things that are above. For it is there, in heaven, where Christ is seated, In one of our readings this year for the Triduum, the days leading up to Easter Sunday, we read from Hebrews, where we are reminded of the fact that Christ sits there, that he is our perfect sacrifice, and not only that, but he is in the eternal Holy of Holies, seated with God, not merely because it is his rightful place, and it is, but because he is there to be our great high priest. He is there to make petitions for us. Friends, let us think about this for a second. Life can be hard. Life can be painful. Life can be beautiful. Life can be good. But no matter where we are, Christ Jesus, the one who died for our sins and was risen again, is now in heaven, making petitions for us. We have direct access to God because God the Son became incarnate and walked among us, died for our sins, rose, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He is seated there and hears our prayers and places them before the Father, not as paltry words of feeble-minded beings, but as living sacrifices. Our prayers are sacrifices to God that are sweet-smelling and give him joy. So in our joy and in our anger, in our gladness of heart and in our heartbreak, in our repentance from the heaviness of sin and in the pursuit of holiness, we give to God all our prayers. We give to God all our hearts, and he is delighted. For there we have an intercessor who will not fail us. And what good news this is. This is really the Easter promise, and let us rejoice in that. Let us not only seek the things that are from above, but set our minds upon them. And there is a difference here. For the first, we must seek them out. We must look for them as one looking for treasure, for they are the greatest treasure. But then, once we find them, we do not stuff them the things of heaven into our sock drawer to be forgotten about. Do not set them aside for a rainy day, but we set our minds upon them. We let them permeate every aspect of our minds until our minds are solely given to Christ. We have already discussed this, but it bears being said again. It is easy for the things of the world to become distracting. It is easy for us to be tempted like Adam and to let our minds wander. But the saint this morning calls us to repentance, calls us back again and again and again. So set your minds on the things of heaven and not of earth. And in this respect, it is good to be single-minded. It is good to be so deeply focused on the jewels and the gems we find in Christ so that all else fades away. And let it be so for us. Death, my friends, is a scary thing. But the Christian is called to death. The Christian is called to put away his or old, her old self and to put on the new self in Christ. For we are reminded of this time and again throughout the year and in the liturgy. To die to self, be buried in Christ, Yes, the first death will come for all of us, unless Christ comes to retrieve us first. Yes, death will snuff out our breath, but we will be laid in the ground. But my friends, death is not the end, and death is no longer permitted to be proud. Death is no longer mighty, for Christ died, and in that Christ overcame death. In Christ, death is defeated. So for the Christian, we are called to die. We are called to put on Christ's death. We are called to lay aside every earthly care and hang them upon the cross with Christ. We are called to be buried with him so that when he comes again to raise the living and the dead, we may be found there waiting for him. Friends, this is why the Christian funeral, though it is sad to say goodbye to an old friend, is not observed in the sorrowful colors of purple or black, but celebrated in white, because we know that we go to our eternal life. We know that that Christ is resurrected, and the life, and we know that our brother or sister that has left us has gone on to be truly alive. They have finished the race, and now they rest eternally in the God who saves them and who redeems. This, my friends, is the Easter promise. This is the amazing and good news that when we die in Christ, we are made alive, so that death's sting no longer holds a power over us, so that death dies and we live. Let us rejoice in this good news. Let our hearts be glad. Let us live life intently focused on heaven, in order that we might glorify God forever. For then, being bound with Christ, we are raised with him, and we dwell in his glory for eternity. Too often, we want to glorify ourselves. We want to glorify our own accomplishments. We want the show to be all about us. For the pastor, this is one of the greatest struggles, the biggest temptation. We want the praise for our service for the Lord, but the Lord calls us to point back to him, calls not only the pastor, but all Christians to do good works and then point to our Father in heaven and say, look what good things the Lord has done. It costs us nothing to glorify God, and in glorifying him, we enjoy his glory all the more. Think of it this way. When someone we love has done a good work and is rewarded for us, it costs us nothing, but gives us all the greater joy to delight in that good work and to delight in the reward which they have been given. And what a great joy it is. What a great joy it is to be constantly be delighting in the good works of the Father that he is doing through us and around us. Too often, we think of an eternity with God as being mundane. But I think this is a mistake. I can imagine no greater thing than to bask in his eternal glory forever. Friends, life can beat us up, be hard. We may be called as the apostles were, or as our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka were this morning, to lay down our lives, to give them up completely for the sake of Christ. But let us remember where we are going. It is the place of eternal joy, the place of dwelling in the presence of the Lord forever, the place where the pains and strife of this world are finally over. We do not earn this, but God's grace draws us out of death, draws us away from our sinful affections, draws us deeper and deeper into his presence. So let us now forsake the things of the world, forsake those things that lead to death, and turn our eyes back again and again to the things of heaven. Seek them and set them as our focus, for Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And in this ancient song of praise, we hear again that Easter promise, the good news that lets us rest with joy in our hearts It is in this that we look forward to. As we go to the feast of the Lamb to break the bread that is his body and to drink the wine that is his blood, broken and shed for our lives, and then go out from here strengthened in his word and sacrament, let our focus be on Christ, that our lives may be lived as a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to him, and that we may draw all people, not to ourselves, but to our Savior who now lives. Alleluia. Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.